Now, you listen to me. The most important thing that you must remember, that is, always appear half drunk. You almost think you look helpless. You understand that?
Yes, teacher.
Hi everyone and welcome to Dragons Forever, the podcast dedicated to the wonderful genre of martial arts films, with a particular sweet spot for those Hong Kong classics of yesteryear. My name's Hardik Mahal and I'm a self-confessed Kung Fu film enthusiast. For me, making this podcast is really an opportunity to relive those classics that I fell in love with growing up. And I hope this podcast also inspires you guys out there to go back and watch those films that you guys also grew up watching and those films that you particularly love. So definitely get involved with the podcast. I'm going to give all the contact details throughout the duration of it. But for now, I just want to say a big, big thank you for taking the time out to listen to Dragons Forever with me, Hardik Mahal. So I touched on the fact that I'm making this podcast to relive some of those classic movies that I grew up watching. And one of them in particular, as you might have guessed, is the influence behind this podcast itself. And that is the 1988 classic Dragons Forever with Jackie Chan, Yuen Biu and Sammo Hung. That film has a really, really special place in my heart because it's how I got into Kung Fu films and it's also how I got into martial arts just generally. So I know we've all probably got our own stories of how we got into Kung Fu films and I definitely want to hear yours. I definitely want to find out how the rest of the fans got involved with Hong Kong cinema and Kung Fu films in general. And my story is quite simply that I came across what I thought was an English film in a sea of Punjabi films at my grandparents' house, and I saw the VHS tape there and I thought, oh, this looks different, let me put this on, it's not another Punjabi film to watch. And lo and behold, you know, I got introduced to the Three Brothers, got introduced to Hong Kong cinema and Kung Fu cinema from there, and I've been hooked ever since. Alright guys, let's start by setting the context for this film firstly. So it's 1988 and Raymond Chow, the head honcho of Golden Harvest, has proclaimed that he's going to release probably the biggest action film of that Chinese New Year. And to help him do that, he's brought in the famous Three Brothers, so Jackie Chan, Yuen Biu and Sammo Hung, who've obviously had much success in the past with Wheels on Meals and Project Day. That they will be coming together for a new film. Obviously at that time nobody knew it would be the last film that these guys would ever work on together as a trio. The name of the film in Cantonese, here's my attempt, is Fei Lung Mahjong, which essentially means Flying Dragon Fierce Challenge, better known around the world to myself and many other fans as Dragons Forever, and for a few people out in America I believe as Cyclone Z. And for all my Cantonese friends out there, I apologise for the bad interpretation of the name if I got that wrong. Will, Fudge and you guys, you can tell me off later. So the film was shot between sort of September and November of 1987 and then was released in Chinese New Year of 1988, which is in February. And the film grossed over 33 million Hong Kong dollars. And various people have said, oh, it should have done a lot better than that inside of Hong Kong and outside of Hong Kong. And there's various reasons why people believe it didn't do as well as it probably could have. And we're going to discuss some of those themes in a little while. So for those of you who've not seen the film or know anything about Dragons Forever, the film essentially revolves around Jackie Chan's character, who plays a hotshot lawyer, who's hired by Yuen Hua's character, who plays the boss of a Hong Kong chemical plant, who are effectively polluting the waters and affecting the fish farms locally. The fish farm is owned by Deanie Yip, and she's obviously opposing Yuen Hua in court. And her cousin, played by Pauline Young, is helping her with the case. So Jackie Chan is hired by Yuen Hua to find out as much information as he can on those two and effectively win the case for Yuen Hua by any means necessary. So he brings in his two friends, played by Sammo and Yuen Biu respectively. Sammo plays like a sort of a small-time crook. He's running sort of fake machine guns and so forth. And Yuen Biu plays a very verbose, neurotic character who's got a various political views, but he's a technical whiz kid, so he hires him to sort of plant bugs in the house and so forth to listen to conversations that they're having. So the characters of those three main brothers are sort of in stark contrast to what they're normally known as and normally most loved for. So for example, Jackie Chan playing this slick lawyer, but he's always chasing women and, you know, he's always chasing the skirt. So that doesn't really go with sort of his image specifically. You know, you've got Sammo and you know, and Yuen Biu, these, you know, normally always playing sort of happy-go-lucky sort of you know, sort of characters, but Yuen Biu is playing this sort of mentally disturbed character, you know, rather than sort of the underdog character that most fans, you know, would love him for. And Sammo, again, you know, rather than being this sort of this mild, timid character as he's been portrayed in sort of in the past, he plays this sort of, you know, little rascal of a character, you know, in this film. And you know, and that sort of goes against sort of what I guess the audience were sort of expecting. Sammo has said in interviews that, you know, if he wanted them to be different to what they'd been known for before. So for example, Jackie Chan predominantly might be playing a policeman character, or obviously a character who's always on, you know, who's always on the right side of the law. And in this character, he's playing a lawyer, but he tends to protect those people who are on the opposing side of the law. So, for example, at the beginning of the film, sort of the first fight in the film is in a restaurant, and you've got Jackie at the restaurant there having a meeting with a woman who's pressing charges against his client for rape, and Jackie's effectively trying to buy her off. So, you know, it doesn't really sit well with sort of how Jackie's normally portrayed. Obviously, you know, the henchmen for his client come in and they start roughing her up. Jackie has to obviously get involved and do his bit. You know, great little scene where Jackie just sort of disposes of them very, very easily and then jumps down from the balcony onto a car, and you know, a nice little stunt there and so forth. It's a nice little scene. However, he doesn't sit so well that, you know, Jackie's playing this quite sleazy character. I mean, right at the end of that little bit, the lady gives Jackie a slap and says that he was part of it. And, you know, Jackie retaliates by giving her a slap straight back in the face. And, you know, you really feel it. And you think, ooh, okay, that's not the normal Jackie Chan sort of a character. I mean, later on they show him in court, and his character, you know, his client gets off with the charge. Even though obviously Jackie's won the case, he effectively just beats up his client in court. So there's, you know, there's always these sort of two sides to Jackie's character.
You know, Fatso, a guy might get hurt with a knife like this.
Jackie Chan's character, he's in a relationship, may also have an adverse, you know, has an adverse effect, particularly in the Japanese market, as many female viewers at the time, you know, didn't accept that, you know, Jackie himself was in a real relationship. One fan committed suicide in a Japanese subway, and one even tried to commit suicide outside of his offices. You know, luckily she was saved by staff, but it just goes to show that in real life, Jackie can't even effectively admit that, you know, that he's married. So in films, it was even worse, showing him sort of chasing girls and so on and so forth. So that might be one of the reasons why the film might not have done particularly so well. It was sort of a, you know, stark sort of contrast to what people were used to seeing from those three. In the scenes in the film, Yuen Hua's character, who plays the owner of the chemical plant, he's a front foot for heroin. So there's scenes at the end where Sammo is in the factory and he's being injected against his will. There's various coarse language as well throughout the film. That, again, not particularly in line with how most people would have expected a Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung and Yuen Biu a movie to look like. But, you know, on the opposite side, you know, it was contemporary. It was kung fu brought into the modern day era. So, you know, you gotta cut them a bit of slack. They were trying something new and trying something different. It's a shame that the audiences might not have particularly liked it. But the film didn't do too bad. $33 million, like I said, it's, you know, it's not an insignificant amount. So, but yeah, there's various reasons why people, you know, have sort of stated why it might have done a lot better had it not been so detached from previous characters.
No fighting!
My little take on why potentially that, you know, they might not have done it as well as it did. But for me, as a film itself, it's still fantastic. It really does stand out for itself. It's different to Project A. You know, it's a lot more serious than Project A. It's different to Wheels on Wheels. But by the same token, you know, I think there's elements in this film that the previous films don't have. I think just the sheer amount of fight scenes in there, you know, are more than previous films. And the style of fighting in the films is completely different. It's a lot more street. I love the fact that there's various different elements to the fight scenes as well. So you've got a fight on the yacht. It just shows where Hong Kong filmmakers were in regards to into filming these sort of, and choreographing these fight scenes. You know, you've got such a you know, confined sort of space, and yet, you know, they're able to make such intricate choreography. So the fight on the yacht is fantastic. And you know, I think you can probably split this film into a couple of different areas. So obviously you've got the, you know, there's a romantic element to the film, and I think the romantic element of the film needed to be there because it effectively carries the narrative along. So let me just take a step back. I've got a bit distracted by the fighting in the film, because there's plenty of it. And let's be honest, you know, kung fu films, you know, we watch them for the fights. We don't watch them for the storylines. You know, let's be completely honest. You know, you're watching them because you want to see the fight scenes. Let me take a step back. Let me just take a break. I'm getting quite excited, you know, just thinking about all the fight scenes. Let me just introduce you to the other characters in the film, aside from the three brothers.
Okay, so you want trouble, do you?
So you've got Deanie Yip's character. Now, Deanie Yip is a quite a well-known TV actress in Hong Kong, and she'd worked with Sammo before in Al vs. Dumbo. Like I said, she was a fine character actress on TV, and she's worked alongside Hong Kong greats such as Andy Lau. And in this film, she helps, you know, give the, I guess, the film its sort of acting credentials, if you will. She plays the owner of the fish farm that's being polluted by Yuen Ma's character. And even though Sammo is then brought in to spy on them, you know, there's a lot of slapstick comedy in there. I love the scene where he goes and he moves in next door to her, the whole scene with him trying to open up the door, so he's trying to open up her front door with his key, and you know, it's really funny, it's really sweet. There's some really nice sweet elements into it. I mean, there's a scene on the, when they get together, you know, they do become an item. There's a scene on the fish farm at night, and Sammo and Deanie Yip's character, you know, are fishing at night. That harks back to a time when Sammo wasn't so famous and was just starting out in the industry, and him and his wife then would sit in a fish farm very similar to that, and eat a loaf of bread. There's loads of nice little sweet elements to that. I mean, there's, you know, there's a nice little interlude towards the middle of the film where the film sort of effectively stops having any sort of fighting action. It just becomes a romantic piece, you know, and I guess they needed that to draw the narrative to a close, I guess, because then you've got Jackie who effectively falls in love with Deanie Yip's cousin, Pauline Young. Yuen Biu is the only guy who actually doesn't end up with any he doesn't end up with any of the girls. However, there's a couple of scenes actually from the film which were cut in the international print, and both sort of involve him going to see his psychiatrist. If anyone's got hold of the Hong Kong Legends DVD, you can find those extras on there, and so that effectively is a motivation as to why Yuen Biu's character ends up at the house where Jackie is trying to woo Pauline's character, and you know, he comes to try and kill her. That's where the story comes to a head, and you know, and the girls sort of figure out that they're not who they thought they were, and that leads very, very nicely into a fight. You know, I think the first time you see Jackie, Yuen Biu and Sammo really go at it, blaming each other, and you know, it lasts, you know, it's probably less than 2 minutes, but for me, it's one of the standout scenes in Dragon's Forever, because you just get to see these three just kings of Hong Kong action cinema. Very, very fast. You know, it's such a short scene, but you know, I got to watch that on repeat.
Now it's fist, huh?
And why not?
I can take care of you anytime.
It's got action upon action in this film. It's a who's who of Hong Kong action. So you got sort of the fight in the restaurant. You got Jackie taking on his stunt team. So you got the Singar Band. You got Sammo Hung's stunt team, the Hungar Band. These guys going at it throughout the film just to outdo each other. You know, these guys are fully, fully going on it. And all the way from the first fight in the restaurant, the three brothers fighting each other in Jackie's house while he's trying to entertain Pauline Young's character. You know, and Jackie's having to keep coming in there. You know, there's really, really nice touches of sort of, you know, it's very slapstick. It's very sort of Three Stooges. My grandparents used to obviously, you know, watch me watching these films, and they got it as well, because it was very slapstick. It was like watching sort of, you know, Lorna Hardy and Charlie Chaplin and this kind of stuff. So those elements were very slapstick. You know, you didn't need to understand anything that they were saying, because the, you know, the action and the visuals spoke for themselves.
It's you again, you damn burglar. First it's my neighbor and now my friend.
So, you know, you've got these elements of comedy, and you've got fights interspersed throughout. So you go from that fight there in the house, Jackie and Sammo and Yuen, we go into the bar where, you know, Jackie's trying to tell them to calm down, and, you know, we've got this scheme on, you know, and Yuen Ma's character is not going to be very, very impressed. They get introduced to Yuen Ma's character, who himself is constantly under attack. Plays a great villain, doesn't he, Yuen Ma? Plays an absolutely fantastic villain. Was fantastic as a villain in Eastern Condors. You probably, you guys all probably know him from that. But in this one, he's just like this chain smoking nasty dude. You can clearly see that obviously Hong Kong's got no issues with smoking on film, because this guy is just puffing cigar after cigar after cigar. It's crazy. I would not have liked to have been you while filming that film, because I very, very much doubt that they were fake cigars or cigarettes. And, you know, he's, I think I definitely read an interview with him, and he was like saying, yeah, it was a really, really hard shoot. You can only imagine. So, yeah, so they go to, they meet Yuen Wah's character at a bar. There's a fight there, you know. And who comes out? You've got Dick Wei in there, in the mix. And, you know, the scene straight after that, Jackie's trying to woo Pauline's character again on a yacht. So he takes her to a yacht. And, you know, loads of thugs come to try and beat up Jackie there as well. And, like I said, it is a who's who of Hong Kong action cinema. So, I mean, the guy who actually dispatches the thugs is actually Lo Li from Five Fingers of Death. So Mr., you know, King Boxer himself, he's actually even in this film as well. I mean, only for, you know, a very, very small small scene, just while, you know, he's telling Dick Wei and the rest of the thugs to go after Jackie Chan and finish him off. How many more famous faces of Hong Kong action cinema and kung fu cinema can you get in there? It's funny, actually, because one of the thugs that I've always loved in Hong Kong films, purely just because of his very villainous and devilish face, has got to be Fong Harkon. He's the dude who's dispatched as one of the thugs on the fight with Jackie on the ship behind Dick Wei. You'll recognize him from being the praying mantis fighter in Warriors 2. He was in Magnificent Butcher. Definitely one of the ubiquitous heavies of Hong Kong martial arts and stunt action cinema. They've definitely got loads and loads of people in this film. And, you know, you'll watch it and you'll be like, oh, gosh, oh, that's him from so-and-so and that's him from so-and-so. I guess it's probably also the film where the seven sort of fortunes really got together as well. So not only you've got Samuel Yuen, Bu, Yuen Wah, Jackie, you've also got Corey Yuen Kwai. He's also in there, and, you know, sort of behind the scenes taking ownership of some of the directing, because this was a really grueling shoot, and a lot of people who've been involved in it have said, you know, there was a lot of times where everyone was sleeping on set. Jackie said that him and Benny, they'd do their fights at the end and then just sleep on the set and then just get up and start fighting again. So, you know, it was a really, really tough shoot, and there was a couple of different filming units behind the film. Some people have said the film's a bit disjointed and it doesn't really work, and it's probably down to that. You know, it was a really, really hard shoot for everyone. It was a very, very fast turnaround to get it ready for the Chinese New Year. That's probably why there's so many fights, because it's just about getting fights and fights and fights, and then the story, like a lot of films at the time, was secondary to the action. Also, huge other big hitters for the film in terms of the villains. I mean, you've got Billy Chow. Chow Bilay is in there, you know, and he takes on Yuen Bu at the end. Absolutely fantastic. Billy Chow as a Canadian kickboxer, and very well known to fans of Sammo's films. He was in Eastern Condors, fought Sammo in Paper Marriage. He also obviously was in Pedicab Driver. Huge, huge film. And he plays a villain in that as well. So fantastic kicker. And he actually lost in real life to the main villain of the film, played by Benny the Jet Akides. You'll remember he fought Jackie in Wheels on Mills at the end. Absolutely fantastic fight at the end. Jackie and Benny the Jet just at the top of their game. And again, directed by Sammo. And, you know, I always say this, Sammo for me is the best action choreographer in my eyes. And I think he just makes Jackie look 10 times better than Jackie makes himself look, with all due respect. And don't get me wrong, Jackie is a great action director, but when you've got Big Brother involved, Jackie Chan just looks like a completely different machine.
Hey, stop it! That's enough! Cut it out now!
It's a shame we don't really get to see Yuen Wah do much in terms of fighting. He comes in very sneakily during the end fight with Benny Jet Akides and Jackie Chan in, and throws in a couple of kicks here and there. But it's really all about Benny Jet versus Jackie in that final reel of the film. And they don't disappoint. They really, really don't disappoint. That film really, really does really give the fans what they want. Yeah, there's been various fans who've gone on to the net and, you know, and trolled various things and saying, oh, Jackie was doubled by Chin Kai Lok at the end, and he was doubled by Mars at the end of the final shot, and blah, 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 blah. It could be the fact that Jackie was injured. It could be the fact that it was a different unit shooting the film at that time. You know, it could be down to various things. It could be, quite simply, that Jackie couldn't do the move that Sammo wanted, so that's why Chin Kai Lok was involved. And Chin Kai Lok, yeah, you know, all respect to Chin Kai Lok, fantastic Hong Kong stuntman, and you know, and also he did a great job, you know, in his film The Scorpion King. You know, can't take anything away from Chin Kai Lok. He's great. He did what he did, but that doesn't give anyone the right to say, oh, Jackie's any less, you know, an awesome action star and stuntman because he was doubled for certain things. I mean, that's ridiculous to say. If it was just that you know, Jackie Chan couldn't do that particular move that Samuel wanted, and that's why he got, you know, he got his boy involved to do it for him, then that's all it is. No reason to be going on the internet and trolling, because, I mean, for heaven's sake, how many times did Yuen Biu double, like, everyone else in the industry? I mean, he even doubled himself in Prodigal Son, the last fight against Frankie Chan, you know, and they say that was purely down to the fact that Samo thought nobody else could do it better than Yuen Biu could do that kick that he wanted. That's not to say that Frankie Chan couldn't do the kick, because Frankie Chan probably could do that kick, but it might not have looked as good on camera as Yuen Biu doing it. So you've got Yuen Biu kicking himself effectively and also doing the reaction to it. Now, there's various different versions of Dragon's Forever available. And I've got them on VHS and various different ones on DVD. One of the better versions out there, for those of you guys who don't have it, who are going to get hold of one, or want to watch one, is probably the Hong Kong Legends release. Now, Hong Kong Legends are obviously pretty famous for their re-editions of Hong Kong classic films. And they did amazing, amazing work on a lot of films out there. And their two-disc edition, a platinum edition of Dragon's Forever. Their release of Dragon's Forever is a really, really good release. And it's packed with loads of extra features. There's documentaries about the film. There's interviews with various different people, Benedict Jet Kides, Billy Chow, and it's also got those two scenes, like I said, that were cut from the international print, featuring Yuen Biu's character at the psychiatrist's. But for me, the best version of the film, I guess, like I said, is because it's the one that I started watching and was a very specific dub. And years later, my good friend Lee actually found a version of it, which were on Amazon, of all places. And the film was actually released, the version that I really like was released by a company called Smile Entertainment. And they're a Copenhagen and Helsinki-based distribution and production company. And they have a version of Dragon's Forever, which is on Amazon. And it was about £25, I think. The last time I checked, there was an offer on it, was half price. Yeah, so I mean, a lot of US players said, wow, £25 for a DVD. Yeah, believe me, that's the most I've ever spent on a DVD. But Dragon's Forever has such a special place in my heart that it was definitely worth it. And the reason I got that, like I said, was because it had a very specific dub. It had a very specific English dub that I sort of fell in love with, and that's how I see Dragon's Forever, that's how I hear Dragon's Forever, I should say. So hearing Dragon's Forever in any sort of other dub, or even hearing it in Cantonese or Mandarin dub, and watching with subtitles, it still doesn't feel the same for me. I don't have that same connection with the film if it's not that very specific dub. So for me, my favourite version of Dragon's Forever was released by a company called Small Entertainment. There are obviously other versions of the DVD available, and I'd probably say of all the other ones that I've seen, the Hong Kong Legends one is probably the best version. Apparently they had a HD master, so it's you know, it's a real shame that the film wasn't released on Blu-ray. I know there's a Blu-ray version out in Hong Kong, but it's just an up-res from standard def. So, you know, when we get a full 1080 sort of HD version, I'll definitely keep my eyes out for that.
You can't cheat me, you know. Not me. Because you know what kind of a guy you're dealing with? A champion!
Now, before I finish up this section, obviously I've talked about how I believe the action choreography for this film is phenomenal, but I'm not the only person to think that. The 1989 Hong Kong Film Awards, Dragon's Forever was nominated for Best Action Choreography. Now, in that category was also Police Story 2 and Tiger on the Beat, and Dragon's Forever actually lost out to Police Story 2 that year. It's funny because if you look at sort of the history of the Best Action Choreography Awards during the 80s, it's basically Sammo Hung versus Jackie Chan for quite a few years. And in fact, actually, the first film that actually won the Best Action Choreography, because action choreography came into play the second year of the Hong Kong Film Awards. It wasn't actually included in the first year of the Hong Kong Film Awards. So, and the first award actually went to Sammo Hung's team for A Prodigal Son. So it was Jackie's Police Story 2 that took the award that year, and it's actually Jackie's Police Story 2 that I'm going to be finishing off this podcast with, as I introduce you to the final section of the podcast, which is called The Fight Box. And The Fight Box is effectively a chance for me to get on my soapbox and for me to talk about one of my favourite fight scenes from a film. Now, I definitely want you guys to be involved with this going forward, but to kick things off, I have chosen to talk about the playground fight from Police Story 2. So for this part of the podcast, like I said, this is the Fight Box. It's an opportunity for me to talk about, and not only me, or hopefully obviously yourselves as you guys get involved, talk about particular fight scenes in certain films which you think are great and definitely worth a mention. So it's not about picking your favourite kung fu film. It's about picking one of your favourite fight scenes from potentially a kung fu film or from an action film that you've seen recently. And I wanted to definitely call out the Police Story 2, because on the whole I think it's a great film. It's definitely a lot more gritty than the first one. I wouldn't say it's my favorite Jackie Chan film, but I would say there's elements in the film which are definitely worth showcasing. And for me, the fight in the Hong Kong park is definitely one of the standout Jackie Chan fight scenes I think ever. So the scene itself is it's set in a Hong Kong park, and it's you've got Jackie Chan trying to make up with his girlfriend, played by Maggie Cheung. And for those of you who know the film series, it's sort of an ongoing sort of joke where Maggie Cheung's always seems to be getting inadvertently hurt. The story itself rejuvenated Jackie's career as well in the mid-80s. You know, it was a style of Hong Kong action that people hadn't really seen. In Police Story 2, you've got Jackie's character is being harassed by the villain of the first film, and so he sends thugs out to effectively try and finish Jackie off. Jackie's in a park with Maggie Cheung, and he's trying to make up with her over various different things. And so the thugs come, you know, they're like, all right, you know, we've been sent by the boss to, you know, come beat you up and to break a couple of legs and so on and so forth. So a fight pursues in this kid sort of playground area, and it's just so kinetic. It's fantastic. It's just so bang 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 bang. It's just like just brilliant Hong Kong action cinema at its finest for me. I think the choreography in that is one of the best choreographed scenes that I think Jackie's done in years. It's got a sense of realness to it in terms of the, you know, the way it's been placed, the pacing of the film, the editing of the film, sort of the soundtrack. I think that scene alone is just perfect in regards to showing why Jackie is one of the best out there. I love the sort of the double takes that Jackie puts into his films when he's really trying to highlight a certain particular move that he uses in his films. And in this one, there's a lovely little sort of sidekick that he does to one of his stuntmen's head, and you get a double take on it. So you really feel that kick connecting. And you know, and this stuff is really serious. I mean, you can tell these guys are actually taking a pretty serious beating for their art, you know. And even though they're sort of, you know, I guess they're sort of matting, you know, you've got this sort of padding on the floor, so you get those by the swings in kids' playground. So they're being chucked, you know, and doing somersaults on top of these, and that's only gonna save you so much. And Jackie himself, you can tell he's taking a proper beating. You know, there's only so much padding you can put on. Under the blazers and stuff that they're using. For me, it's just a one of those fights that really draws you in terms of you're on this journey with him. It's as if you're there, you know, taking this beating alongside Jackie. It's just full on for that minute and a half or whatever it is, you know. And when there's a, you know, Jackie puts these little breaks in his fights, you know, there's a break where, you know, they sort of, you think, you know, and you actually take a breather when the fight stops. You actually take a breather and you think, whoa, that was pretty manic, you know. And then it all starts over again, and you know, they and then they go and they're chasing him through the streets, and it sort of ends up with him in this alleyway, which is probably, to be honest, the way it looks is probably like a studio set or something, where the thugs are in a car and they're chasing down this alleyway. So he does this stunt where the car goes all the way to the end, and he has to run up a wall to evade being squashed effectively. Jackie's in fully like beast mode at this point, and he's just trying to, you know, he's trying to rip off the guttering of the wall so he can use it against him. And he's walking towards him, and he steps on this orange juice carton, and it makes a massive like bang. You know, there's just nice little elements of comedy interspersed with you know, in a pretty serious sort of sort of fight scene. But it just goes to show that, you know, Jackie had not only the skills as an action choreographer, but also, you know, the talent to be able to intersperse bits of comedy to break up the tension. And that's why Jackie Chan is loved by so many people, because he can do action and do comedy very, very well. So for me, the Police Story 2 fight scene in the playground is in my eyes, one of the best fight scenes that I've seen in a Hong Kong action film, and just in a general action film for me. So I'm definitely going to stick that out there in the list, and I'd love for you guys all to get involved and definitely tell me what you guys think is a great fight scene to have. And I would love to be able to compile like a top 10 best fight scenes, ideally looking more at sort of martial arts based films or martial arts fight scenes in films. But I'd definitely like you guys to get involved with me on this at Auburn Digital, AUBURN Digital, and all the information is going to go on the Twitter account. Just hashtag either Fightbox or hashtag Dragons Forever. If you guys want to get involved and record something for the podcast, I would love to reach out to you and hear your thoughts and views on different fight scenes from films. All right, so that takes us pretty much to the end of this episode, the first episode in the Dragons Forever podcast with me, Hardik Mahal, and Auburn Digital. Absolute pleasure having you guys join me today. I want to really thank you for taking the time to listen in. I want to definitely shout out a few different people for their support in actually making this podcast come to fruition. I want to say a big thank you to Leon Smith the Mister for supplying the audio for the podcast, the Drunken Shingo introduction, alongside a good friend of mine, Mike Forte, also a great producer and huge kung fu film fan. I want to say shout out to Sai. I want to shout out to Lee, to Phil, to Kazra, to Nashon. I want to shout out to all the kung fu heads out there that like me are fully geeked out and love this stuff. And I want to just thank everybody else who's got involved and supporting me with actually getting this podcast done. I spoke about doing a podcast for a long time and never really done it, and just thought, you know, I'm going to just do one. And if the rest of you Hong Kong film fans or Kung Fu film fans like it, I'll keep doing it. Definitely want to get you guys involved somehow. I want to get some more. I want to actually get some guests involved. So if you want to be involved in any way, shape or form, just tweet me and, you know, let's make it happen. So yeah, big, big thank you for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. And I'll see you on the next one. Take care.